What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamore. Shams, how are you doing today on this Thursday evening of Championship Week in the Cacupful?
Oh, well, if I was going to go out, might as well go out knowing right away so I don't have to have any nail biters. So now I'm basically 100% focused on my home league, which I used my last moves this week, and one of them was for Talbot, but it's a Cats league, so I got the win, and I'm leading that stat, so it's not all lost.
Sounds like you may just have to punt the ratios this week and stream for wins. I am also in the same place in Cacupful. PJ is kicking my butt. I think he's projected to win by 40 points right now. I'm not going to give the early GG yet, but it's not looking good for my team, especially since my ads have done nothing this week also. But let's get on to the news. The first piece of news is that Thomas Chabot in Ottawa did not play today. I did not see what the injury was. Maybe you have more info on that. But combine that with the fact that Jacob Chychrun is already out, you got to go grab Jake Sanderson. And unfortunately, he did nothing today in their 5-4 win. But I'd still be grabbing Sanderson for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I don't have right on hand what Chabot's out for, but the sad thing is that I have Sanderson and Cupful, and he was oddly doing more when all of them were healthy. And then once, like, one of them is out, like, he'll get some shots and some blocks. Like, for example, he got you three blocks and three shots. So depending on your Cats situation or how you're in a banger league, it's not absolutely nothing. But oddly enough, kind of like Chabot, when put into the prime position, he's getting absolutely nothing. But when he was in the secondary wing, he was somehow getting points. So I would still play him, but it's just frustrating to see.
Definitely want to play him because I just looked up the injury, and it is a hand or wrist injury, and Chabot is likely to miss the rest of the season. And I think Chychrun was already confirmed out for the rest of the season. So it may just be Jake Sanderson and Tyler Cleven, the call-up from the University of North Dakota, running this power play however they see fit.
Oh, yeah, because technically, if I remember correctly, Chychrun's not, like, officially out. It was, like, a couple of weeks, and, like, the couple of weeks, like, lined up right to the end of the regular season, so most likely it's going to be, but technically wasn't declared out for the season.
On to some goalie news, other than the fact that we may have already mentioned, or I think we mentioned in the pre-show ramblings, that Cam Talbot returned to the net and promptly got lit up for, what did you say, a 656 save percentage in regulation, even though he got the win?
Yeah, it was 4 goals on 11 shots, so not pretty.
Not pretty, but a win is a win, I guess. There's another goalie, though, that you may have interest in if he's available in your league. Who we got here, Shams?
So, we always joke about certain goalies being like, you can check on your clock, that basically it's a 50-50 split. But this week, we got a curveball, and Korpisalo is getting a second start in a row. He started, I believe, the early week game. I forget if it was Monday or Tuesday. And normally it would have been Copley to get this night's start, but Korpisalo is getting it again. And potentially, if you remember, it was either Sunday or Saturday, Copley got lit up really bad. So maybe this might be a doorway into Korpisalo. Potentially, you know, it is against Edmonton, so he could get lit up tonight. But if he has a decent game, might even get the Saturday. And then, depending on if you're interested with your fantasy leagues, more starts to later next week as well.
I think this is a case of the LA Kings realize that both today's matchup and Saturday's matchup have huge playoff seeding implications. I believe they're neck and neck with Edmonton for that 2-3 seed and home ice advantage. And then Saturday they play Seattle, who is also just on their tail in the Pacific Division. So if you've got shaky Copley in net or Korpisalo, who's been really good all season, it may be Korpisalo's net for both today and Saturday. Another piece of LA Kings news, unfortunately, Kevin Fiala is missing today's game. Shams, did you see what the injury was? Do we think Fiala will be back for the Saturday-Sunday back-to-back?
potentially could be back for the Saturday because it just said lower body injury and day to day. And it broke like just an hour ago. So feel bad for people with the lineup situations. You didn't have a position to really find someone else in. But basically, where we are now is that the top six has stayed together. So you still have your Byfield, Kopitar, Kempe, and then you have your Moore, Deneau, Arvidsson. So the thing is going to be to see, I don't believe we've seen a power play yet. So that's going to be the interesting part. So you're going to probably have more information than us, or you're definitely going to have it listening. So check what the power play lines are, and then potentially based off of that and how the Saturday game goes, if Fiala's in, you might be able to sneak someone in there, but it's going to be a busy night. So not sure there's going to be much action other than crossing your fingers that Fiala's back in.
Good point. On to some other nebulous injuries, these of the upper body variety, because you know there's only two types of injuries in the NHL, upper body and lower body. Both Pavel Buchnevich and Robert Thomas are taking a seat Thursday night for St. Louis. St. Louis is out of the playoff chase at this point, so I'm actually a bit worried if these injuries are slightly more than one game bump and bruise, they may just rest for the rest of the season. Not great. The top six in St. Louis still looks pretty good, though. Brandon Saad, Braden Schenn, Jacob Vrana on the first line, with Sammy Blais, Kasperi Kapanen, and Jordan Kyrou on the second line. I think the two interesting names there are Saad and Blais, because they probably are unowned in your league. Sammy Blais in particular, I think, has 8 points in his last six games and has been throwing a ton of hits. I'd be considering rushing to add him if you can fit him both Saturday and Sunday this week. Any actionable news here from you, Shams?
Just agreeing with you, because I added Blais to replace Buchnevich. He doesn't have a shot, but he has 6 hits so far, and I believe they're only like halfway through the game, and he's the only reason I'm still in it in my hits category in the playoffs right now.
Those hits are really useful both in categories leagues and leagues where, like, the Kakupful reward hits. I'm in a league that rewards hits even more than Kakupful does, so drafting only bangers is kind of a legitimate strategy there. Unfortunately, the only league I ended up with Sammy Blais in is my keeper league, in which I'm already eliminated, and he's not really a keeper. One more injury for you. Shams, take it away on Shea Theodore and the potential implications of that.
So, I don't have the exact information of it, but he is listed as day-to-day and not traveling on the trip. Now, the good news is that road trip is literally just tonight's game, so there is a potential he could be back for the weekend, but right now there's not much information, and I don't know if they're even started yet. So I believe it probably, my guess is Pietrangelo would get power play one, and then one of the random guys that maybe you have for baggers might get power play two and a little bit of added benefit. But I think this is much more of just a, it sucks at you losing Theodore, not much action elsewhere situation.
Totally agreed. There's not really even a defenseman who will bump onto power play two I find particularly interesting in Vegas outside of dynasty context. Pietrangelo is a good guy, but he's obviously already owned. I think Theodore's going to play Saturday. Maybe I'm just hoping because he's on like a Cupful team, but I agree with you that leaving him home from the road trip isn't a sign of concern because it was a one-game road trip from Vegas to San Jose, which isn't even that far. Next up, we got two more goalies that are still out. Carter Hart and Sergei Bobrovsky are still dealing with, I think, illness for both of them. This meant that Alex Lyon got a second start in a row and won for a second game in a row. If you picked up Alex Lyon for back-to-back starts and got all of those fantasy points, I applaud you because he was not even on my radar as a goalie I would consider streaming yesterday. Definitely kicking myself seeing two good wins in there. But again, I think Bobrovsky and Hart are going to be back soon. I guess my only question is, do you think Lyon could steal the job from Hart down the stretch with Florida seeking a playoff spot?
Maybe, like, it'll be interesting to see. I think that he's done enough that maybe what they could do is just not rush Bobrovsky back. Say, like, if I remember correctly, it was like earlier in the year, Lyon played, and this could be my memory. I remember getting lit up in like one of his few games that he played. So when I saw that he was playing, I'm like, I don't want to play with that. And Bob's always sick, but he's played, you know, got two wins and they need the wins. And you know how coaches or teams are about momentum and whatnot. Even if it wasn't 100% him, could be enough that he gets at least the next start this week. But that's just all conjecture at the moment.
I think they may have to roll with their hot hand here in Alex Lyon. I just looked up the standings because I was curious. After today's games in which both teams won, Pittsburgh has played 75 games and has 84 points. Florida has played 76 games and has 83 points. They are right in this late race, but cannot lose games at this point. And if Alex Lyon's going to be winning games with a save percentage over 900 and Florida's offense in front of him, maybe just give him the run and figure out the playoff goaltending situation if you make it.
Yeah, something to keep in mind, that second game was Montreal, so we're not talking about the toughest of things, but the first game was against Toronto, so it's one of those situations where you give added points for one, and maybe so it kind of may even out, but I'm with you, and especially with Florida playing against Columbus on the weekend, that maybe it might be a situation that you just leave him in there.
A must-win game there for sure against one of the Bedard lottery favorites. Speaking of Florida playing Montreal, Kirby Dach on the Montreal Canadiens is out for a minimum of 1 week. This is unfortunate because he just came back and was a bit of a trendy pickup with the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday games this week. Is it safe to cut bait on Dach now, especially with a minimum of 1 week timeline?
Yeah, it's one of those situations that, like, I'm in one league that I don't have much of a IR space that I had to drop, like, Forsberg today to be able to put Buchnevich there. So, like, it's one of those situations that, depending on your league setup, you know if you have it at the end of this week, you can cut. Maybe if you're crossing your fingers, you might have someone else better to cut. Now, the thing is, though, that something that I'm not a fan of is that it doesn't really help much of the others on the team because it was already a thin situation. And what happened is that now there is a little bit of a switch. It is Farrell, Suzuki, and Hoffman, which is the top line. And like, if I remember correctly, Farrell is a like darling, at least in prospects, or at least highly regarded. So that line is fine, but that leaves Harvey Pinard, Evans and Gallagher as the second line. And if you had Dach as the center, I'd be like, okay, I could live with that. But with Evans there, that just really makes that second line just really sketchy.
Yeah, there's not much you can do with Montreal forwards at this point. Sean Farrell did score today and is rocking a 100% shooting percentage through two games. He's going to be a good player eventually, but not really worth streaming in, especially with Montreal's schedule tapering down. Last but not least on the injury updates, I feel like we always have half a show of these, and I guess that's the nature of the sport. Tell us about some of the Ducks and their upcoming road trip.
So they are starting a road trip tonight, and the importance of this one, it actually extends throughout the whole week. So they're going to be playing tonight and then both Saturday and Sunday, all on the road. So Terry and Henrique will not be making the road trip, but Zegras will. However, none of them are actually playing tonight. So basically, you're going to know that you don't have Terry or Henrique for the rest of this week. And then you're just going to have to keep an eye out for potentially Zegras coming over the weekend. And on top of that, talking about Montreal, you got maybe a line with Anaheim. You got Comtois, Strome, and Vetrano. And then somehow you're asking, where's McTavish? He's not on the second line. He's not on the third line, but I guess after the first line, all the lines are the same. He's with, I think it's Max Jones. And then Leeson, and I can't even tell you his first name to just show you how little I know of these guys.
I think it's Brett Leeson. And I think the only reason I know that, if I'm even correct, is because he was a former Capitals prospect back when I lived in the DC area. But as an aside, there is technically the chance that Henrique or Terry could join the team in the middle of the road trip, but they're game tonight is in Seattle. Their next two are in Calgary and Edmonton. So is someone really going to fly across the border on what's actually a pretty long flight from Anaheim all the way up into the Canadian provinces? I tend to think that you're right there, that nobody's going to randomly join the team mid-trip. And with that, let's head on to our commercial break. We'll be back afterwards with some more news and notes. Welcome back, everyone. And I lied to you at the end of the last segment. We actually do have one more piece of injury news that we decided to save for after the break because it's arguably one of the bigger ones for fantasy. Tage Thompson and Jordan Greenway are game-time decisions for tomorrow's game for Buffalo. I believe Buffalo plays both Friday and Saturday, so obviously Tage Thompson is the one you care about here. If there's a chance he plays, he needs to be in your lineup. I hope all Tage managers are crossing their fingers because that's a big hit. Do you have any more news on this, Shams, or is it just Thompson and Greenway? Would you be interested in Greenway if he did play?
That would be it's going to be one of those situations is that you kind of have to see where Greenway plays. And if he like maybe sticks on like the top six and you're looking at a deeper league, I would be considering it. But even if it is a deeper league and he somehow ends up on the third with like a random power play, I wouldn't. But something also to keep in mind is that if I remember correctly, Mittelstadt was playing in the center. So of the top line. So if Thompson does come back, that is a potential that you might want to look elsewhere or at least wait on who you're adding for your Friday streams for this news. Because the good thing is it is a early start. It is a would be a 7 o'clock Eastern. So it would be one of the first games or actually the first game to start. So you could kind of use the news there to help decide how you're going to play throughout the rest of the day and the weekend.
Agreed. It does look like at least when everyone was healthy, Greenway was playing with Tage Thompson, but I think Greenway's injury coincided with Tuck's outjury, but it seems like Greenway is going to be in the top six no matter what. There was also a top six shuffle up in Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Jets have new lines that include Mark Scheifele playing right wing. Do you want to go over who's where on these lines and who you're interested in, Shams?
Sure. So the top line is basically everyone that's going to be probably owned elsewhere or in maybe in different degrees of happiness. It's Connor as a wing, Dubois as a center, and then Scheifele as right wing. And then the interesting thing, and we actually talked about it a few weeks ago, Mystikov is now the second line center with Ehlers and Wheeler as his wings. And I think that's where my interest rises because you get to play with Ehlers. We didn't see any power play, I believe, during this practice, so we don't know how that's going to be managed. But 5-on-5 with a player of that quality, and Wheeler can randomly get hot at times, that you could have situations where you could find his way into points.
That's definitely a good call out. I would be interested in Nemesnikov because Winnipeg plays Friday-Sunday to finish this week, although you should be careful. Sunday is a very busy Sunday. So in one of my leagues, I cannot fit another forward on Sunday, so I'm not going to be adding Nemesnikov. There is also the big loser from this changeup, and that is Nino Niederreiter ending up on the third line. I'd definitely be avoiding him, even if he's still playing power play two. Like you said last show, the Jets just haven't been scoring, and that continued against San Jose when James Reimer shut them out. They're struggling hard. They're in desperation mode for playoffs. It's clear by this line shakeup that's what they're doing. I actually think that top line could see like 25 minutes. They're really pressing and every win matters. Another line shakeup here. Jesper Bratt is finally back on New Jersey's power play one. I forget who had supplanted him. I actually don't have any Bratt shares, so I think I completely missed that he was off of power play one. Who did he knock off?
It was Mercer was replacing him for a little bit. I guess they were toying around with it. I don't believe a coach actually said it, but I saw that many beat writers were talking about different handiness and all these different strategy ways. But I guess that what they decide is that it worked for them in the past that Hamilton, Heischer, Hughes, Bratt, and Meyer. Let's just stick with it. And I'm still a fan of depends on the depthness of your league, but Mercer still is shooting a decent amount. So if he's still not getting points, he's still at least involved in the offense. But just a sigh of relief, at least for Brat managers, because like, while there is a lot of great forwards, I'm only interested in power play one.
I think Brat is one of those players that is valuable off of power play one, but it definitely was a huge ding to his value, as it is now a ding to Dawson Mercer's value not being on power play one. Mercer's a really good real-life player, and I understand the hand of this argument, because Mercer is right-handed, and those other four forwards we were talking about are left-handed. But at some point, you just got to put your best players out there and let them do their thing. They were rewarded with a goal today. Timo Meier scored a power play goal assisted by Hughes and Hischier. No point for Brat, but if the unit's working, you got to imagine he's going to stay up there. We'll finish this off with two hot streaks. I will save you the pain of having to talk about a guy who's killing you and take David Perron. Anybody who picked up David Perron for this four-game week is very happy. He scored a hat trick against Pittsburgh on Tuesday and had two assists, at least one was on the power play, against Carolina today. And those are the two tough matchups. I believe Detroit has some easier matchups coming up here. It's Carolina, and then it was Winnipeg and Toronto next, so maybe not any easier. But Perron's producing. He's definitely killed Shams and Kakupfel this week. He's killed me in another league this week. What are you going to do? Add him if you can.
Yeah, he's playing with Larkin. You play the guys with Larkin. There's a lot of forwards on that team, but there are always so few to get to play with Larkin, and he's doing it now, and he's shown that he can produce.
All right, finish us off with this last hot streak guy, who I saw a tweet today about being the best forward on his team since January 1st, and I had not realized that.
Yeah, it's Morgan Frost says that he's always been that guy that you're thinking about. Like, I feel like the last few years of just beat writers talking about him again and again, of just like his growth into the team, but not really much coming out of it. But it is a nice point streak he has. He has 7 in his last 5, 9 in his last 10. But at least we'll have to see, because wasn't too hot. It was 5-4 Ottawa versus Philly tonight. And I think he got a shot. He had a nice amount of faceoff wins, 13, if you care about that, but most leagues don't. So hopefully this is just a blip, but he's been showing long enough that if he's on your team, I'd be tempted to keep him around, but I'm not 100% sure, just because of the Philly tax, in my opinion, that I would be rushing to add him.
I think he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on for next year also. I remember Frost has been at the top of Dauber's prospect forward list for at least a year now. Like, this was basically like guys who, I forget what Dauber's criteria is. I think it's like under 23 and less than X amount of NHL games. And he topped that list over some more recently drafted guys because he was closer to the NHL, but still had the upside. Here's the tweet that I saw earlier today. Frost has been the Flyers' leading scorer since New Year's with 24 points. In the last 47 games, he's tied for the team's scoring lead with 32. And over the last 50, he leads the team with 28 even-strength points and all forwards with 20 assists. It's a pretty solid run from a guy who is still really young and has potential to be a future leader on that team.
It'll be interesting to see next year, assuming that Sean Couturier can come back. Don't forget that Konechny was on fire before getting hurt. So if he's able to do this with basically nobody, and then there is other players that he could potentially be playing with, we'll have to see how the lines are next year. But that is an interesting point that, you know, Konechny showed it, that even if it's not the greatest team, he could still get some points. So I'm with you on that.
And the Flyers may even have two viable lines next year with guys like Konechny, Hayes, and Couturier. Owen Tippett's looked really good this year and is another, basically, a peer of Frost as far as age range goes. Those two may be the future of that franchise as a first or second line pairing. That's all we have time for today. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK, as well as Brian and Elon at Keeping Carlson. I also recommend you follow at Game Day Lines, at Game Day Goalies, at Game Day News NHL, and at GameDayStatsNHL, all organized nicely at the site www.gamedaytweets.com and retweeted to our Discord if you are a patron of Keeping Carlson. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach, and John Reed is our digital media producer. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.